欢迎聆听各位尊敬的奉献者，大家早晨好。今天是2020年1月4号，星期六。我们非常荣幸地邀请到敬爱的萨提亚德瓦帕布为我们讲述今天的圣典博加瓦坛的早课。感谢大家的聆听 ，Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna, good morning to all the devotees in China.
Hare Krishna, 中国的奉献者们，大家早上好。
Yes, I'm very excited that we return to the live broadcast, and I can hear the birds in the background. They're also very excited.
是的，我对咱们再次恢复直播感到非常的激动和开心。我还能听到这个背景声中的鸟叫声，这些鸟们也非常的兴奋呢。
So, let's see. Well, we'll continue our reading today of the sixth canto, chapter 3, where it's a discussion between the Yamadutas and Yamaraj.
因此我们今天继续圣典博加瓦坛第六篇第三章的讨论，然后在这一章的话谈关于的都是 Yamaduta 和阎罗王之间的这样他们之间的对话。
And before that, I'll chant Jaya Radha Madhava.
当然在此之前我会先和大家一起来唱 Jaya Radha Madhava.
So here we go. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balaba Girivana Dari Gopi Jana Balaba Girivana Dari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Rajana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Rajana Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balava Girivana Dari Gopi Jana Balava Girivana Dari Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Rajana Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Rajana Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Nitai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Go. Happy birds.
Yeah.
Okay, so today we are on text 5 of chapter 3. It's a relatively short chapter with not a lot of purports. So I suspect this chapter will go a little faster.
因此我们今天一起来看瓦坛第六篇第三章的第五诗节。整个这个章节的话并不是特别的长，并且很多诗节都没有要旨，所以说我想这一章节的讨论应该不需要会太长的时间。
So we understood from the last class that the Yamadutas are now, actually all of these verses right now are being spoken by the Yamadutas, and they are before Yamaraj and they're questioning him.
实际上我们在上个星期已经讨论过了，到目前为止这些诗节的话都是 Yamaduta 在说话，他们都是站在阎罗王的面前在质疑他。
And we learned from the commentary by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he described to us what the mood of the Yamadutas is.
并且我们通过由 Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur 所写的要旨而了解到当时那个场景当中 Yamaduta 他们的心态和心情是怎样的。
So they're, of course, they're having various feelings.
当然他们内心可以说是心情澎湃，各种的情绪都有。
They're feeling a little frustrated, or you might say angry, because they were prevented from executing their duty and taking Ajamil to hell.
他们感到就是特别沮丧、愤怒，因为他们被阻止去履行自己的职责，把阿加米勒带到地狱星球去。
And so they're also a little confused.
并且他们也感到很困惑。
They're wondering who's really in charge.
然后就很想知道到底谁才是处于这个负责这个领导的位置。
They were thinking that their boss Yamaraj was the highest authority, yet they were prevented from executing their duty.
他们曾以为自己的上司老板阎罗王是至尊的权威，结果他们却被阻止去履行他们的职责。
So they're disappointed, angry, and confused.
因此亚玛都他们感到非常的失望，非常的愤怒和困惑。
And so in this mood, they are asking Yamaraj a series of questions because they want clarification.
因此当他们有了这样一种心态心情的时候，就向阎罗王提出了一系列的问题，因为他们希望能够得到非常清晰的答案。
So, first question is they want to know who's really in charge.
所以他们问的第一个问题就是到底谁才是真正的这个管理者控制者。
And then they understand that everything that goes on in the material world is going on becauseof the three modes of material nature.
因此他们也明白在物质世界当中所发生的一切都是由于物质自然三形态三属性的控制。
Yeah, so everything is being caused by the modes of material nature.
因此所有的一切都是由物质自然三形态所引发的。
So their question is, if everything is being caused by the modes of material nature, thenWho's responsible for the result?
因此他们就问了这样一个问题，如果所有的一切都是由物质自然三形态所引发的，所导致的，那么究竟谁应该为这个结果、后果而承担起责任呢？
So as we read the verses spoken by the Yamadutas, keep their questions in mind.
因此当我们来阅读这个亚玛都塔所说的这些话语这些诗节的时候，请我们继续的来回忆起想起就是他们问的这些问题。
Now, these are very good questions because we also have the same questions.
实际上他们问的问题都很好，因为我们有同样的疑问。
Or at least, you know, all human beings want to know, is there a higher power? Well, who's the higher power?
至少对于人类来说都有这样的一个困惑，是不是有这个更高的力量存在呢？那究竟谁才是更高的力量呢？
And when something horrible happens to us, oftentimes we're confused and we don't know why is this happening to me?
而很多时候当糟糕的可怕的事情发生在人类的身上的时候，我们往往经常都会感到非常的困惑，然后都会心中充满疑问，都想知道为什么这样的糟糕的事情会发生在我身上。
Okay, so keeping these questions in mind, let's read verse 5.
好，我们现在一起来记住亚麻都他们所问的这些问题，然后再一起来阅读第五十节。
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Okay, so I'll read the Sanskrit and the word for word translation and purport.
我们现在一起来看第五十节的梵文十节译文以及要旨。
Yadishur bhavaboloke shastraro dandadarina kasya shatam navakasyaMrityus chamritam eva va yadi.
如果
shu
有
bahava
许多
loke
在这世上
shastrara
统治者或控制者
dandadarina
惩罚罪恶之人的
kasya
谁是谁的
Shatam
可能有
Na
不
Va
或者
Kasya
谁是谁的
Mrityu
痛苦或不幸
Cha
和
Amritam
快乐
Eva
肯定的
Va
或者
TranslationIf in this universe there are many rulers and justices who disagree about punishment and reward, their contradictory actions will neutralize each other, and no one will be punished or rewarded. Otherwise, if their contradictory acts fail to neutralize each other, everyone will have to be both punished and rewarded.
译文：假如这宇宙中有许多统治者和法官，而他们彼此之间对于惩罚和奖励的看法是不同的，那么如果他们彼此矛盾的做法相抵消，就会导致没有人受惩罚或者受奖励。可是如果他们彼此矛盾的做法没能相抵消，那结果就是每一个人都会既受奖励又或惩罚。I'll continue with purport.
Yeah, yes, please.
Okay. 要指阎罗王的命令执行官们，因为没能成功的执行阎罗王的命令，所以怀疑阎罗王是否真的有能力惩罚罪人。他们虽然遵循阎罗王的命令去逮捕阿加米勒，但却发现因为有更高的权威而无法成功的执行命令，因此他们不确定究竟是有许多权威还是只有一位权威。如果有许多权威人士给予有可能是相互矛盾的不同裁决，就有可能错误的惩罚或奖赏一个人，或者该受罚的没受罚，该得奖赏的没得奖赏。按照我们在物质世界里的经验，一个人在一个法庭被判受罚后，会到另一个法庭提起申诉，因此同一个人有可能根据不同的判决，要么受罚，要么获奖励。然而在自然法律中，或者说至尊人格守神的法庭上，不能有这样相互矛盾的判决，判官和他们的判决必须是完美的，彼此没有任何矛盾。事实上，在阿加米勒这个案件中，由于阎罗王的命令执行官们有权逮捕他，而 Vishnu 的命令执行官却阻挠了他，以至于阎罗王的地位显得十分尴尬。尽管在这种情况下，阎罗王受到 Vishnu 的命令执行官和阎罗王的命令执行官双方的控告，但他因为被至尊人格守神授予了权力，所以可以完美的判案。因此他将解释他的真正地位究竟是什么，以及每一个生物是如何受至尊控制者人格守神控制的。要旨结束。 End of report.
Thank you, Narayani. Om Aganata Mirandasha Gananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimakte Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshutarne Jai Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadigur Bhaktavinda Jai Rup Sri Sanatan Bhakta Raghunath Sri Jiva Gopala Bhakta Dasa Raghunath Sri Nishringa Jai Nishringa Jai Jai Nishringa Praladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Krishna, Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Offer my respectful obeisances to my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
我谦卑地顶拜, 我的灵性导师, 圣恩, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
I was born in the darkest of ignorance, and He opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge.
我诞生于最黑暗的愚昧之中, 而他以知识的火炬照亮了我的双眼。
And I offer my respectful obeisances to all the Vaishnavas participating in the Srimad Bhagavatam class today. And I ask for your blessings. May all living beings be happy. And may all living beings be free of suffering. And may all living beings awaken and discover their true self in their relationship with Krishna. So the Yamadutas are continuing to question Yamaraj.
所以亚玛都他们继续质问阎罗王。
Yeah, Prabhupada mentions in the purport that they were, they were correct in wanting to bring Ajamil for punishment because he was a sinful person. They weren't wrong.
帕帕在药子中就指出, 亚玛都他们的做法是正确的，他们想要把阿扎米勒带到地狱去，因为阿扎米勒的一生就是非常罪恶的一生，因此，亚玛都他们的这种做法是正确的。And
the Yamadutas, they weren't acting independently.
并且亚玛都他们也并没有是这种完全独立自主的在做事。As
we discussed last week, Yamaraj, he knows everything.
在我们上周的讨论当中已经说到了，阎罗王他本人是知晓一切的。And
he knows our every thought and our every word and our every deed, and he keeps a record of it.
阎罗王知晓我们每一个生命体的每一个念头，每一句言语，每一个行为，并且他对我们所有想过的、做过的、说过的这些事情，全部都是有记录的。
And when it was time for Ajamil to die, Yamaraj, he sent the Yamadutas to go get him.
并且在阿扎米勒即将要死亡的时候，阎罗王就派遣了亚玛都他们去抓捕阿扎米勒。But
then when they arrived there, simultaneously, the Vishnudutas also arrived and prevented the Yamadutas from taking Ajamil to hell.
而当他们到达那个地方的时候，同一时间 ，Vishnu都他们也出现了，并阻碍、阻拦，亚玛都他们把阿扎米勒带到地狱星球去。And
so then, that's the first time they you could say they encountered a higher authority.
可以说这是他们第一次遇到更高的权威。And
so, from their point of view, justice, which should be impartial, now seems to be partial.
You mean from the Yamadutas' point of view?
Yeah.
因此从亚马都他们的这个视角，他们的角度来看，那么本来是应该非常公平正义的正义，结果现在却看上去好像是有偏袒的，是不公平的。
So, you know, from human law, of course, is partial and unfair.
当然，针对人类的这个法律的话，当然是有偏袒的，是不公平的。
Even within the same country.
即便是在同一个国家中。
Right, for many, many years, marijuana possession was illegal in America, and even if you had a little bit, you would go to jail.
在美国在美国的历史当中，曾经有许多许多年的时间，大麻的使用都是严格禁止的。就如果要是有一个人被抓住，就是吸了那么一丁点的大麻的话，都会被抓到监狱里。
But within the last couple of years, gradually, state by state, marijuana has been legalized in America.
但是在过去的两年内在美国的话，一个州接着一个州就开始使大麻合法化，于是的话这种食用吸食大麻的话完全就变得是可以进行的，没有任何问题的了。
However, there are thousands of people in prison in America because they were arrested at one time or another because they had some marijuana and they're still in prison.
但是的话，曾经就是包括现在的话，但现在的话依然在监狱里有成千上万的人还依然被关押着，就是由于他们曾经的话是使用过吸食过大麻，所以他们现在还继续被关在那里。
Yeah, so the Yamadutas actually they have some concern about universal law. That universal law has to be uniform.And consistent, otherwise the whole thing will fall apart.
因此亚马都他们实际上是非常在意非常关切的一点，那就是宇宙的法律必须是统一的，必须是前后一致的，否则的话这个整个这种状况就会完全崩溃。
And everyone might become lawless if there's no consistency.
Lawless means
means a nominal. Everyone will stop following the laws, the laws of nature.
所以说，如果要是这个法律都是不统一的，就是有偏袒的，或者是这种前后这种相矛盾的话，那么人们可能每个人都会就是完全不再去遵循法律了。
So there's this inconsistency. You know, why is it that Ajamil doesn't have to go to hell. Look, what about all the other sinful people? Why do they have to go to hell?
因此亚马都他们就看到了这个在阿扎米勒身上发生的这种非常前后不一致的状况，就是为什么阿扎米勒可以不用下地狱，但是其他有罪的人却必须得在那儿待着呢。
And even Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that punishment is very important.
并且 Krishna 在博迦梵歌当中也说到过，惩罚是非常非常重要的。
In fact, he says that punishment, if a criminal is punished, that actually represents him. He is that punishment.
并且 Krishna 也说过，如果一个罪犯受到了惩罚，那么他所受到的这个惩罚，其本身就是 Krishna。Krishna 他就是这个施加在这个有罪之人身上的惩罚。
And he says that lawlessness is curbed by punishment. And that represents him.
所以说他说到，就是惩罚是代表了他本人，因此惩罚就会。阻碍这种就是人们不遵守，个体灵魂不遵守这种就是法律的这种状况。
So Yamaraj appears to be in a difficult situation right now. How's he going to clear up this apparent contradiction?
因此阎罗王看起来好像就处在一个非常困难的艰难的境地，他到底该怎么做怎么说才能去这个让整个的这种看起来非常矛盾的这个事情能够把它给搞定呢？
Yeah, so Yamaraj you could say because of the Vishnu Dutas, now his authority appears to have been challenged.
所以说我们可以说阎罗王由于这个事件当中 Vishnu Duta 们的出现，可以说阎罗王他的权威就受到了挑战。
But of course, this whole incident is there so that Yamaraj can actually explain his position and the position, the ultimate position of God.
当然整个这个事件的存在，那就是可以使得阎罗王去阐释，去解释他的位置，以及至尊的权威的位置。
And also, ultimately, he's going to explain the purpose of creation.
并且最终他也会去解释到这个整个创造物，整个造物的目的是什么，意义是什么。
Yeah, that the material world is just not a place for punishment, but it's actually meant to be a place for correction.
可以说整个物质世界并不是为了惩罚而存在的，而物质世界的存在和物质世界的创造都是为了矫正而存在的。
Right, otherwise, if criminals were punished, and, or, you know, the conditioned souls just continually were punished, and the only purpose was punishment, then that would just be cruel.
因为如果个体灵魂在物质世界的这个存在的话，其他们的意义就是为了受惩罚，那么一世复一世的受惩罚，那么可以说这真的是非常非常残酷的了。
Actually, I don't know about in China, but in America, prisons or jails, they're not actually technically called prisons or jails. They use a different word.
What is that word?
Correctional facility.
correctional facility. 所以实际上顾叔说，他说我不知道中国的情况哈，但是在美国的话，监狱其实不叫监狱，监狱的话他们有另外一个名称，这个名称就叫做这种叫做纠正场所，对，纠正场所。
Yeah, so the ultimate purpose of the prison is not just punishment. Punishment is just there to help correct the criminal and bring them to proper behavior.
所以说整个他这个物质世界的存在并不是只是为了惩罚，而惩罚的目的意义其存在就是为了帮助个体灵魂纠正其行为，纠正他们，并且从而帮助他们发展出恰当的言行。
Yeah, so the material world is actually a correctional facility.
因此可以说整个物质世界就是一个这种纠正人言行的这样一个场所。
Yeah, the conditioned soul learns how to properly utilize his free will.
受物质世界制约的个体灵魂在这里学习如何恰当的去运用他的自由意志。
He learns that whatever situation he's in, ultimately, he's created by the choices that he or she has made in the past.
而他们最终就是要明白的是，无论这个人，这个个体灵魂所处于怎样的一种境地，怎样的一种状况，那么这样的一种状况，从根本来说，都是由他曾经在过往所做出的事情所做出的这种行为而制造出来的。
Yeah, so every thought, every word, every action, there's a consequence.
因此，每一个念头、每一句话语和每一个行为的背后，后面都会随之而来的是有一个结果，一个后果。
And each human being has the the gift, you could say, of self-awareness and free will.
而每一个人类都被赋予了这种自我觉知的这个礼物，每个人类都有这样的一种天赋，对，这样一种天赋，自我觉知 self-awareness and
free will.
以及自由意志，对，自我觉知和自由意志这两个礼物。
Yeah, so we can actually be aware of our thoughts, be aware of our words and be aware of our actions, we can watch those.
因此我们实际上可以去觉知到，去注意到自己的念头、言语和行为，能够去观察自己所思所想的一切。
Yeah, so because we do have this self-awareness, by our will, we can change our behavior because we can observe it.
而由于我们有这种自我觉知，因此我们可以通按照自己的意愿来改变我们的行为，因为我们是可以去观察自己的。
Yeah, and ultimately we learn by the laws of the universe and the laws that are enforced by Yamaraj that whatever we do good for ourselves and others, is beneficial, and whatever harm we create for ourselves or others causes pain and suffering.
并且我们最终归根结底，我们也要去学习，也要去领悟到，那就是通过这个由阎罗王所实施、所执行的宇宙的法律，那么我们最终就能够去明白。我们对自己和对他人所做的好的事情，那么就会真的是有益的，而我们对自己和他人所施加的伤害，那么就会带来痛苦，带来苦难。
So ultimately, we learn that whatever we do to somebody else, we're just doing to ourselves. That we're all connected.
Whatever we do, is
to hurt someone else, we actually ultimately.We're also just hurting ourselves.
因此我们最终就会明白，那么我们所做的伤害他人的其他生命体的这种行为的话，最终也就是在伤害我们自己。
And we learn that ourselves and everyone else are connected through God.
并且我们也会明白我们的自我、我们自己以及所有其他的众生、所有其他的生命体都是相连在一起的，都是由于神的原因而相连接在一起的。
Yeah, this is called the absolute truth.
而这就被称为绝对真理。
And Krishna, he says in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that and if you want to know the truth, then you should approach someone who knows the truth.
并且 Krishna 在博迦梵歌的第四章也说到，如果你想知晓真理，那么你就必须要接近一位知晓真理的人。
And because this person has realized the truth, they can show you how to realize the truth.
由于这个人已经觉悟了这个真理，已经看到了这个真理，因此他可以向你展示通往真理的道路。
And then in the next verse, Krishna explains what the truth is.
然后在接下来一个时节 Krishna 就阐释了什么是真理。
Let's look at that. It's chapter 4, verse 35.
我们来一起看一下这个时节第四章的第34。
He says, Yasgantva napunar moham evam yasyasi pandava yena bhutan yaseshani dakshyas yatma yato mayi.The Christian says, having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion, for by this knowledge, you will see that all living entities are but part of the Supreme, or, in other words, that they are mine.
实际上是第三十五十节。译文：当你从一位自我觉悟的灵魂那里得到了真正的知识，就永不会再度堕入虚幻之中，因为这知识会使你看到一切众生都只是至尊的部分，换言之，他们都从属于我。
Yeah, so that's the truth is that every living being belongs to the Lord, including ourselves.
就因此真理就是每一个生命体都是属于神的，包括我们自己。
Now, if we actually understand that, will we ever think harmfully of another person or act harmfully?
而如果我们真正的明白这一点的话，那会不会在心意当中，在念头当中去伤害另一个人？那会不会在行为当中，通过行为来伤害另一个人呢？
So by this action and reaction, gradually, we come to understand this truth.
因此，通过作用和反作用，我们就渐渐的能够得以最终领悟到这个道理。
And then we choose to think and speak and act appropriately.
而后我们就能选择来让自己有恰当的思考、恰当的念头、恰当的言语和恰当的行为。
Because we understand that we are the creators of our own experience.
因为我们能明白we are the creators of our experience, right?
Yeah.
因为我们能明白我们正是自己的体验和经历的创造者。
Or in English, we would say you make your bed and then you have to sleep in it.
在英语当中有这样一句俗语来表达同样的意思，就是说你自己铺的床，那你就得自己睡在你自己铺的床里面。
Or again in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in text 29, Krishna explains.He says, Sarva Bhuta Shta Atmanam Sarva Bhutani Chatmani Ikshate Yoga Yuktatma Sarvatra Samadarshina. A true yogi observes me and all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized person sees me, the same Supreme Lord everywhere.
同样的，克什纳在《薄伽梵歌》第六章的第二十九诗节说道，真正的瑜伽士在众生之中看到我，亦在我之中看到众生。的确，自我觉悟者无处不看到我，看到同一个至尊主。
And then he says in the next verse, he says, text 30, he says, Yomam pasyati sarvatra sarvam cha mayi pasyati tasya hamnapPranashyami, sacha me na pranashyati. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me.
然后在接下来的第三十诗节 ，Krishna 继续说道：“看到我无处不在，又看到一切都在我之中，这样的人永不会失去我，我也永远不会失去他。
So the universe, or this correctional facility, is designed in a way to bring us to that understanding that we are part of God and that everything we do has a consequence.
因此整个这个物质，整个这个物质世界被作为这样一个行为言行纠正场所，其设计的目的就旨在要把我们带到这样的一种理解，那就是我们都是至尊主，我们都是神的一部分，而我们所思所想所说所做的所有的一切都会带来一个后果。
And so when we choose to obey God's will, it's God is happy and it's good for us and it's good for others.
因此当我们选择来去遵从神的意愿的时候，那么这就会取悦神，神就会感到开心，并且我们所做的一切就是不仅对自己并且对他人都是有益的。
Yeah, and so the whole purpose of creation is to bring us to correct us so that we surrender and obey God's will.
因此整个物质世界的创造，其意义其目的都是为了纠正我们，使得我们得以最终臣服于主的意愿，并且顺从于主的意愿。
So that means we have to give up the illusion we have about ourselves and others.
这就意味着我们必须要放弃我们对于自己和对于他人的幻觉。
And what is that illusion?
而这个幻觉是什么呢？
The illusion is that I exist independent of God.
而这幻觉就是我是独立于神而单独存在的。
Yeah, so that illusion is created when we identify with the mind and the body and our thoughts.
而当我们去认同于自己的念头，认同于我们的心意的时候，那么这样的幻觉就诞生出来了。
Then we appear to live in a separate world, our own little world.
而然后我们就会看起来好像是活在一个不同的世界，活在一个相分离的世界之中。
Yeah, and those who agree with us, who have a similar concept of themselves and a similar concept, similar beliefs, we feel connected with them.
因此那些同意我们，那些和我们有着相似的人生概念和相似的这种关于生活的信念的人，我们就会觉得和这些人很聊得来，很有这种连接感。
But those who think and believe a little bit differently than we do, then we see them as somehow separate and not as good.
而那些和我们的思考和行为有一丁点不同的人，我们就会觉得这些人和我们是相分离的，我们就会觉得他们不好。
And in fact, you know, sometimes, you know, we, even within the same religion, you know, there's all kinds of different groups that arise.
Different groups.
Yes.
In the same what?
Same religion.
Oh, 而事实上就是在同一个宗教当中，有些时候都会涌现出好像很多不同的团体。
Yeah, so we have affinity for those that are in our group, but we create some distance or we look in a negative way upon someone who doesn't exactly identify the way we do.
因此我们对于和自己同处于一个团体当中的其他人就抱有很大的这种好感，而对于那些不认同于我们做法的、不太认同于我们做法的那些人，我们就会和他保持距离，或者是对这个人抱有一种非常负面的这种看法。
And that's all created by the mind.
而这一切都是由心意制造出来的。
That we see ourselves as different or separate from others.
我们把自己看作和别人是相不同的，或者是相分离的。
But when we actually see we're not the mind or the body,
但是当我们真正看到自己不是这个身体，不是这个心意，
and we understand that I am part and parcel of God,
我们能明白自己就是神的一部分。
Then the illusion of separation dissolves and we see that I'm connected with everyone and everyone's the same.
行。而后那么当我们能明白这一点的话，幻觉就会得以消失，我们就能真正看到自己和其他的众生都是相连接的，并且我们所有人所有的生命体都是一样的。
Of course, this is expressed in verse 54 of the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita.
当然这一点是在《博迦梵歌》的第十八章的第五十四诗节当中被解释到。
Where Krishna says, he describes the basic level of self-realization.
Basic level.
Yeah.
所以说在这个五十四诗节之前的部分， Krishna 是在描述自我觉悟的基础阶段。
And he explains how that bhakti, or pure devotional service, is based on this foundational spiritual level.
Is how bhakti, pure devotional service, is based on this foundational
spiritual level of consciousness.
Foundational spiritual level of consciousness. 然后他就描述到，慧士拉就描述到，奉爱或者是叫做纯粹的奉爱服务是怎样基于知觉的这种根基的灵性层面的。
Yeah, he says, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatman, Associati Nakankshati, Samastaveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. He said, when you come out of the mind of the past and future, you realize that you are pure consciousness. This is called Brahma Bhuta.
因此大家可以看到十八章的第五十四师节，在这里 Krishna 就在说，当你从关于过去和未来的心意当中走出来的时候，你就会觉悟到你自己就是 Brahma Bhuta。
And you'll feel satisfied within, prasanatma.
你就会感受到内在的满足感，也就是 prasanatma.
Nasoshati nakankshati, you're no longer in the mind.
Nasoshati nakankshati, 这个师姐的第二排这一句话，那就是你就没有再处于心意之中。
Nasoshati nakankshati means lamenting the past and hankering for happiness in the future.
而这个 Nashochati Nakanshati 的意思就是说是在悲伤过去和渴求未来。
So when you're in that state, when you're satisfied within, you're no longer identified with your mind lamenting the past or the future, what happens?
那么当你处于这样的一种境界的时候，当你感受到内在的满足感，不再认同于你的心意，不再去悲叹过去和渴求未来的时候，那么这个时候会发生什么呢？
You feel happy.
你就会感到快乐。
Why?
为什么呢？
Just because you are.
因为你就是快乐的呀。
You're happy just to be.
你存在，你活着，你就已经感到很快乐。
And then you come out of this vision, this kind of separation.
而后你就从这个由心意所制造出来的幻觉
，which is someone is equally,
这就是 Samasaveshu Bhuteshu， 你能看到每一个生命体都是神的平等的部分。
Yeah, everyone's equally valuable.
每个人都是有同样的价值。
Not more valuable than you, not less valuable than you, equally.
你不比其他任何人拥有更多的价值，你也不比其他任何的生物拥有更少的价值。你和所有的众生都是有同等程度的价值。
Madbhaktim Labhate Param. In that consciousness, you can engage in devotional service.
而当你处于这样的知觉之中的时候，你就能进入到奉来服务之中了。
Yeah, so then, of course, the Vedas describe, you know, strict rules and regulations one has to follow, just like laws in the law book.
规章制度，这些规则要求，就像是这个法律书籍一样。
Yeah, so people that are, you know, criminal, they obey the law because they're afraid of being punished, right?
当然就是有些人的话，比如说罪犯，他们去遵循法律，是因为他们害怕遭受惩罚，对吧？
But one who is in higher consciousness, a higher level of human being, they obey the laws of God because they don't want to hurt anyone else.
而那些处于更高知觉的人，或者说叫做更为进化了的人类，那么他们之所以遵循法律，是因为他们不愿意去伤害其他的生命。
Really, they're just obeying one law.
实际上他们所做的就只是在遵循一个法律而已。
In the Western countries, it's called the Golden Rule.
在西方国家的话，把这一个法律，这一条法律称为黄金法则。
Which means you will treat others the way you want to be treated.
而这个黄金法则意思就是说，你会如你希望被对待的方式来对待其他人。
Yeah, so you're not acting good because you're afraid of being punished. You're acting good because you're good.
因此你有良好的言行行径，并不是因为你害怕遭受惩罚，你有良好的行径是因为你就是一个好人。
So that's the whole universe is designed in order to bring the living being to his real consciousness.
因此整个这个物质宇宙的设计就是为了旨在把个体灵魂把生物体带到他们真正的知觉。
Yeah, ultimately, every living being is good because God is good.
归根结底，所有的生命体都是好的，因为神就是好的。
But there has to be laws and punishment to punish those who are not good yet, haven't woken up to their goodness.
或者这个可以翻译成就是归根结底，我们所有的众生都是善的，都是善良的，因为神就是至善的。那么这就是为什么会有法律，会有这个惩罚的存在，那就是为了去针对那些即将发展出它的良善，发展出它的善良这一面的这些生物体。
So the purpose of the correctional facility is to transform the criminals into good citizens.
因此这些就是叫做不叫做监狱哈，叫做这种行为的矫正场所，其目的就是为了把这些罪犯转化为transform criminals into what?
Good citizens.
把这些罪犯转化为良好的公民，良好的人。
It's going to explain, you know, the universal laws in a higher context, you know, that what's the ultimate goal of all of this punishment is to correct the conditioned soul. So that he learns to utilize his free will properly.
所以说阎罗王在这里他所阐释的或者他即将要阐释的，那就是整个这个物质，整个这个宇宙的法律至尊的这样一个目的目标，就是为了去纠正受物质世界制约的个体灵魂，使得他们学会去运用自己的自由意志。
So, I think I'll end the talk here today. And so if there's any questions or comments, we'll open it up for commentary.
所以说今天的正课就讲完了。然后大家如果有问题或者是感想的话，就欢迎发上来。Let me see. I think there are some questions from Smoky Mother Jiju wrote. There are some questions. Okay. I think there are 1, 2, 3. Yeah, 3 questions.
Oh. Yay, back to questions.
好，我们来看一下，就是这个 Somuki Maharaj 发上来的这些大家问的这些问题，总共有三个。第一个问题是小小的仆人图图 Maharaj 问的，顶拜亲爱的 Guru， 在卡利年代，我们的心意每天都在进行着罪恶活动，这些活动也要被记录，看来最终要去阎罗王那里报道了。So Tutu Maharaj is asking, offering her businesses to you, and she's asking that in Kali Yuga that every day.Our mind is engaged in sinful activities. So all these activities are recorded, which means that eventually we're all going to go see the Yamaraj, right?
Yes, if we don't change course.
We don't change. Oh, okay. 是的，确实我们会最终到阎罗王那里去报道，如果我们不改变自己的航向的话。
Yeah, so...You know, I've described the spiritual awakening as similar to, you know, what we experience every morning when we wake up.
我曾经描述过灵性的觉醒就有点类似于我们每天早上刚刚醒来的那种状况。
Most people that don't have spiritual practice, they are 100% identified with their mind.And their consciousness is like 100% in a video stream of thought.
所以说大多数人没有进行过灵性休息的绝大多数人，那么他们是100%的认同于自己的心意，他们的知觉是100%的迷种视觉化的这种视觉的念头这种想法之中。
Right, we wake up in the morning.
早上醒来。
And we start daydreaming as soon as our eyes are open.
然后早上一醒来，眼睛一睁开，然后立刻就开始白日做梦了。
And we daydream until at night and we go to sleep again.
然后睁着眼睛做梦，就这样一直持续到晚上的时候，等到晚上闭上眼睛再继续做梦。
So it's a continual dream.
所以对他们来说就是一个持续不断的梦境。
But spiritual life, when we begin a bona fide spiritual practice, we start to see we're not the mind and the body.
而当我们开始有了这个正宗的良好的灵性修习的时候，我们就会开始看到自己不是这个身体，不是这个心意。
Yeah, so when we're dreaming, we don't know we're dreaming.
当我们在做梦的时候，我们是不知道自己在做梦的。
And so we can't decide to wake up.
因此我们都没办法做出决定要让自己醒过来。
But then gradually consciousness arises and it comes to a point where we can decide to either get up or to stay in bed.
但是渐渐的知觉它就会慢慢的升起，就会到达这样的一种一个点，那就是我们可以做出决定是要继续回头去睡觉呢，还是要让自己醒来。
And so we have enough consciousness where we can actually make a choice.
因此这一刻我们就有足够的知觉能够做出决定了。
Yeah, so if you're having a really nice dream, you're probably going to choose to go back to sleep.
所以说如果要是你做的梦非常美好的话，你很有可能会决定继续回过头去再睡一会儿。
But if you're having a horrible dream,
但是如果你要是做了噩梦，
You reach a point in the dream that you realize you're dreaming.
然后你在梦里面就最终到达一个点，就意识到自己好像是在做梦一样。
And you're greatly relieved to decide to, yes, I want to wake up. Let me get out of this dream.
然后你就大松一口气，就觉得太好了，哎，我想赶紧的醒过来，赶紧。
So the material world is designed to bring us to that point.
因此物质世界被设计出来就是为了把我们带到这样的一个点上。
Yeah, and you know, and sometimes we wake up and we go to sleep, we wake up and we go to sleep, and then finally we decide, okay, I'm going to get up, this is it.
当然有些时候我们是醒了又睡过去，醒了又睡过去，然后直到最后我们决定，哈，够了，已经不行了，必须得起床了。
So it's a gradual process.
所以说它是一个逐渐的过程。Chandra Vilasini Devidasi Mataji 所问的问题，感恩 Guru 的精彩甜美的讲课，顶拜 Guru。 您刚讲到我经意记录下来，都被宇宙记录下来。我想请教的是，我们在修习 Krishna 知觉中，假如每天每个念头每句话有一些是没有浸泡在 Krishna 知觉中，那是不是我们也要去阎罗王那里？ Chandra Vilasini Devidasi Mataji is asking a quite a similar question to what Tutu Mataji was just asking. So you were saying that our thoughts, ideas, and words and deeds are recorded, by the universe. So my question is that, during our spiritual practice, if, on certain days that certain thoughts, words are not really about Krishna consciousness, then does that mean we're going to get judged by the Yamaraj?
Well, the thing, our words and our deeds, they have consequences, right?
关键点在于they have consequences. 我们是对自己的思维 言语和行为负有责任的，我们所思所说所做的一切，它都是有一个后果，对吧？
Yeah, so often the reaction is immediate. Well, it's not something that we have to wait to pay for.
Oh, it's immediate. We don't have to wait for the reaction.
Yeah, we're already getting it.
而很多时候的话，我们所说和所做的所带来的这一切的反应，它都是立刻发生，不是我们必须要等待一段时间或者很长一段时间，然后再会遭受到这个它的一个反作用力，它的一个后果的。
Like for example, when you're angry at someone.
就举个例子，当你对某个人发脾气的时候。
And you're lost in the past, thinking about what they did.
然后你就完全迷失在这个过去之中，然后想着这个人对你所做的一切。
And you're lost in the future, hoping and imagining how you want them to suffer.
然后你也迷失在对于未来的想象之中，然后想象着这个人可以怎么样，因为他曾经做过的这些行径而受苦。
Yeah, so when you hold an angry thought about someone, who's suffering?
因此当你脑袋里抓住一个愤怒的念头不放手的时候，那究竟是谁在受苦呢？
Of course, we are.
当然，就是当我们有这样的念头的时候，我们就是在受苦。
Yeah, so gradually we learn that.
因此，渐渐的，我们就能明白这一点。
Right, we don't have to hold a thought like that.
我们不需要让自己一直抓住一个这种念头不放手。
We have free will.
我们都有自由意志。
We can put our attention anywhere we want.
我们可以就做出决定，把自己的注意力放在任何一个我们想要放在的物体或者是人身上。
Yeah, so often our reactions for our thoughts and for our words and for our deeds are immediate. We're already creating our suffering. We're already suffering that reaction.
因此很多时候我们的念头言语和行为所带来的后果，所带来的反作用，它都是立刻出现的。我们都是在遭受着这些的这种反作用的所带来的这些痛苦。
Now, a person who is a criminal,
而对于一个罪犯来说，他是不会想要去改进他自己的。
They keep doing the same thing over and over, as long as they can get away with it.
他们会持续不断地去重新重做的去做同一件事情，除非直到他们被抓住的那一刻。
But they might need to be punished.
因此他们就可能需要遭受惩罚。
But what about someone who's voluntarily trying to improve themselves?
但是对于那些自愿想要改进自己的人来说，又会是怎样的呢？
They realize that holding a negative thought towards somebody else is not good for me, it's not good for them. I think I'll stop doing that.
他们就会觉悟到在自己的心意里紧抓住一个不好的念头，对自己不好，并且对其他人也不好，因此他们就会决定，好了，我不想再继续这样下去了。
Do they need to be punished?
那么这样的人他们需要遭受惩罚吗？
And what else is being recorded?
那还有什么被记录下来了呢？
All of our chanting, every mantra, every name is recorded and counted.
还有什么被记录下来呢？那就是我们的念诵，我们所念出的每一个曼陀罗，我们所念出的主的每一个圣名，那都是被记录了下来的。
Yeah, what is the position of someone who is actively wanting to surrender to God and doing their best to give up the illusion that I'm separate from God, that I'm His servant?
What is the position, huh? 那对于一个这种积极主动的想要去臣服于神，想要并且尽自己最大努力去放弃这种幻觉，这种认为自己和神相分离的幻觉，并且尽最大努力去服务于神的这样一种人，那么他们的位置又是怎样的呢？
So every moment is a moment to awaken, is a moment to surrender, and the more we awaken, the more we take advantage of that.
The more we what?
Every moment is an opportunity to awaken and to surrender to Krishna.
Oh, the more we take that opportunity.
Well, every moment is an opportunity.
Oh, I see, I see.
To awaken and surrender to Krishna.
Sorry. 所以说每一个时刻,每一刻都是我们能够得以觉醒, 并且臣服于 Krishna 的一个机会。
And the more it's up to us. We have free will.
因此就是完全取决于我们的,我们都有此。
If somebody's rebellious, then they might need to be punished a little bit.
如果某个人是特别叛逆的话, 那就可能会需要遭受一点点惩罚。
And even Krishna during our life, you know, when we veer a little bit off the path of devotional service, he arranges our life in such a way to help awaken us from the dream. So even that is not actually punishment, it's mercy.
You mean like a little bit diverted from the path?
Path of devotion, from the path of awakening. He might cause us a little bit of suffering, but that also, it's not punishment, it's actually mercy.
而即使是在我们的人生当中，如果我们有一点点偏离了这个觉醒的道路，有一点点偏离了奉爱服务的这种道路的话，那么 Krishna 都会来安排我们的生活，而使得我们能够最终的再次的回到正道上。而他做出的这种安排都并不是惩罚，而是一种仁慈，一种帮助。
So. For someone who's very much lost in ignorance and very demoniac, he sees Yamaraj, he sees the universe, he sees God as an enemy.
因此对于一个非常完全迷失在愚昧之中，迷失在黑暗之中，然后非常恶魔属性的人来说，他们就把宇宙、把神和把阎罗王都看作是敌人。
But for one who is a devotee, he sees the universe, he sees the environment, he sees everything connected to Krishna, and he sees everything really as favorable.
而对于奉献者来说，他们是把整个的这个环境、把宇宙、把所有的一切都看作是和Krishna相连接的，他们把所有的一切都看作是非常有助益的、有帮助的。
Really, everything that has ever happened to us is purposeful. It's only meant to awaken us from the dream of separation from Krishna.
因此发生在我们身上的每一件事都是有意义的，都是为了帮助我们得以从与神相分离的幻觉当中觉醒过来。Okay,
next question.
Okay. Next one. 好，我们来看下一个问题。图图玛拉吉问的第二个问题：顶拜亲爱的咕噜，活动包含的五种要因，我们错误的活动也是得到超灵的允许吗？ So Tutu Maharaj is asking that there are five factors for an action. So our wrong behaviors, wrong actions have also got the permission from the super soul, right?
Yeah, he's the overseer and permitter.
是的，因为超灵就是监督者和监督者，对他看到监督者和控制者，他看到了所有的一切。
Right, we're like children learning how to useful adults.
我们就像是小孩子一样。 在努力地学着怎样去成为一个有用的成年人。Right,
we want all children to grow up to be good citizens.
我们也希望自己的孩子长大以后能够成为一个对社会有用的公民。And
so we're learning how to use our free will properly, which is ultimately to serve God.
因此我们都在学着如何恰当的运用自己的自由意志，而我们的自由意志就是最终去服务神。
And so we have to learn by our mistakes.
因此我们就不得不通过学习，不得不通过错误来明白这一点。
Okay.
Okay. Okay, there are two more questions. 第一个问题，今天的新的问题 ,Padmanochan Mataji 问的问题 ,Dimbai Guru Dev, 怎样理解每个人都具有同样的价值。So Padmanochan is offering her basic exam to you. She's asking how to understand that everyone has the equal amount of values.
Well, if you look at the rays of the sunshine,They're all equally brilliant and beautiful.
如果你去观察，去看到太阳的光线，你就会看到太阳的所有的光线都是同样的璀璨，并且同样的美丽。
It's impossible to say this ray over here is more brilliant or more important than the other ray over there.
因此去说这个地方的光线比那个地方的光线要更加的这种绚烂或者更加的美丽的话，这种是不可能能够说出这样的话语，不可能能够看到这样的事实的。
We're all part and parcel of Krishna.
我们都是 Krishna 的一部分。
He sees us as belonging to him.
他看到在他眼里我们都是属于他的。
So if you look at your body,
因此如果我们来看到自己的身体
right, your right hand is part of your body.
你会看到你的右手是你身体的一部分。
Your left hand is part of your body.
你的左手也是身体的一部分。
They're both equally valuable and precious.
是不是你的左右手都是同样的有价值，同样的重要呢？
So life is eternal and can never be destroyed and is coming from Krishna.
生命是永恒的，生命绝对不可能被毁灭，而生命都是来自于 Krishna 的。
Yeah, my experience of life and your experience of life, of being alive is the same. It's equally valuable.
而我对于生命的体验和你对于生命的体验是同样的，我们的这种生命都是同样的有价值。
The life itself is not Chinese, it's not American, it's not female, it's not male.
生命本身是不是有这种国籍的区别，不是生命有这个美国和中国的区别，或者是有男人的生命和女人的生命的这种区别的。
Yeah, it's exactly the same.
所有的生命从本质上是完完全全相一致的。
So,we understand that when we understand ourselves. Then we don't see any distinction.
We understand that.
And that everyone is equally important when we understand ourselves.
当我们能够真正明白自我的时候，我们就能够明白所有的众生都是平等的一部分，都是有平等的价值，那么就不会再看到有这种生命之间的区别。
As Krishna says in the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse 18.
我们来看一下薄伽梵歌第五章的第十八诗节。
Vijayvinaya sampane brahmane gavihastini suni chaiva sopake cha pandita samadarshinaha. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater.
第五章第十八诗节。谦恭的圣者具有真知，会以同等的眼光看待渊博文雅的婆罗门、母牛、大象、狗和食狗肉者，四阶层以外的人。
Right, so the spiritual spark, the eternal spiritual spark in the Brahman is the same spiritual spark that's in the cow and the elephant and the dog and the dog eater. That spiritual spark is unlimitedly valuable.
因此渊博文雅的婆罗门所用他的内在的这个灵性的火花和这个母牛大象狗狗和狮狗者的内在的都是一模一样的他们都是具有无限的价值
yeah, So when we discover our own spiritual spark, we see how valuable it is, then we can appreciate it in others. We can see it in others. Same thing.
因此当我们能够发现自己内在的灵性火花的时候，我们就能够看到自己所拥有的真正的价值，并且能够得以去欣赏和感恩所有其他众生所具有的这样一种真正的价值。Okay. OK, next one. 我们来看下一个问题。Sumuki Radamata 就问的问题。感恩 Guru Maharaja 的讲课和 Narayani 的甜蜜讲和翻译。请教 Guru, 我们在运用临在当下艺术释放和疗愈过往伤痛记忆以及放下自我限制模式方面的确很有帮助。如何在联谊时候分配好时间和搭配其他环节来让大家获得更多的收获呢？想请您给予指导。感恩您。So Sumukhi Radha Mataji is asking that we are applying the art of releasing and releasing and being present to heal our past painful memories and give up the very restricting patterns. It's really very helpful. But how can we actually allocate properly time and are the or the other arrangements in our devotee association so that everyone can get more benefits? I would like to hear your guidance, please. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, it's very similar to my answer is very similar to the letter I recently wrote to the devotees.
非常感谢你提出的这个问题。其实我要回答你的这个问题的答案跟最近我给奉献者所写的一封信里面的回答是很类似的。
Yeah, the practice of present there are many words to describe the same consciousness.
Same consciousness. 实际上就临在与释放的练习而言，针对同样的知觉状态是有许多不同的言语或者是言辞来形容的，有许多许许多多的言语是来形容同一种知觉状态。
Any spiritual process, bona fide spiritual process begins by teaching the student to master the mind and the body.
许多任何一种正宗的灵性修习过程都是始自于教导学生不去认同其心意和身体的这样一个环境而开始。
Yeah, so like the basic book on devotional service is called The Nectar of Instruction.
就比如针对风爱瑜伽奉爱修习的这个基础书籍 Nectar of Instruction, right?
Yes.
这个基础书就是教诲的甘露。
And the first instruction that Rupa Goswami gives us is that we have to learn to control the mind and the senses if we want to engage in bhakti, actually.
而在这本书里 Rupa Goswami 所给出的第一个训示那就是如果我们真的是想要进行奉爱服务的话那么要做的第一点就是要去控制自己的心意和感官
And Prabhupada explains in the purport that that's the first duty of a devotee is to learn how to control their mind and senses
并且他在要旨当中也解释到奉爱就是奉献者的职责就是要学会去控制自己的心意和感官
And he said, everything else that you need to know will be revealed to you once you're able to do that.
然后帕帕就接着说，而你所需要知晓的其他所有的一切就会在稍后向你一一揭示。当你能够真正学会去控制你的心意和感官之后，在你做到之后，所有其他的一切都会向你一一揭示的。
So every spiritual process, whether it's personal or impersonal, begins by teaching the person to bring their attention to the present so that one can actually watch the mind and the body and master it.
因此任何一个灵性修习过程，无论是人格还是非人格的，都会首先教导他们的学生，那就是要把注意力放在当下的此刻，从而才能得以去观察心意和身体。
And so that basically means to sit and hear the holy name.
而这基本上意思就是在说要坐下来能够听到圣名。
Or sit and hear Bhagavad Gita.
或者是能够坐下来能够真正听到博伽梵歌的讲课。
Yeah, so in order to hear, you have to be here.
而如果真的想要听到讲课的话，那你就必须要在这里。
Which, that's what presence means.
而这就是临在的意思。
And release means to release your identification with your imagined self, or the past and the future.
而释放的意思是指释放掉放下你对于想象的自我的认同，以及放下你对于过去和未来的认同。
Or as Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches, forget the past that sleeps and never a future dream at all, but live in times that are with thee, and progress you shall call.
或者正如 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 所在他的诗节当中所说的，忘记沉睡的过去，也不要去梦想未来，而是活在你当下的时时刻刻，那么这样你就能取得进步。
So presence and releasing is not something that's separate from the teachings of our acharyas. It's just explained in a modern way, a modern context.
因此临在与释放的教导并不是和我们的先辈灵性导师 acharya 们的教导是相分离的，是对相并不是相分离的，而只不过是一种现代的方式或者叫现代性的话语，而描述出来的。
And it's based on especially my earlier experiences of practicing Krishna consciousness, you know, which I've practiced for 50 years, but.
而并且这门教导也是基于我早期的这个修习Krishna知觉的这个体验这个经历，而基于这个体验和经历之上的，就整个修习了50年，但是人生的前25年的修习时间却是非常艰难的。
So presence and releasing is, you know, it's just based on my own personal experience. So some devotees may relate to it and some devotees may not.
因此临在于释放只是基于我个人的经历，所以说有些奉献者可能会觉得能够去感受到这一块的这种益处，而有些奉献者可能就觉得对他没有任何的注意。
So some devotees may find it helpful, and some devotees may not.
因此有些奉献者会觉得是对他们有帮助，而另一些奉献者觉得没有帮助。
And again, practice and releasing is not an alternative or a supplement for the basic practices of Krishna consciousness as taught to us by Srila Prabhupada.
并且临在与释放的修习也并不是要来取代也并不是取代帕帕所教给我们的 Krishna 知觉的这些知识的。
Yeah, so Prabhupada's program is that everyone chants 16 rounds a day.
因此帕帕的要求是我们每天念诵16圈。
Everyone follow the four regulative principles.
并且遵循四项规范原则。
And everyone hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees.
并且每个人都需要在和奉献者的联谊当中来聆听博伽梵歌和博伽瓦坛的讲课。
So that is not negotiable. That is our program. That is our process.
所以说这是没有任何值得商榷的，值得要去探讨的，这是我们必须。
all followers of Srila Prabhupada are expected to enthusiastically participate, you know, in hearing and chanting and reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita.
因此, 怕怕的所有的追随者都应该热情满满的来投入在念诵和聆听之中, 投入在阅读圣典伯加瓦坛和伯加梵歌的书籍中。
Now, the presence of teaching, the teaching of presence and releasing, some devotees may find helpful, some devotees may not.
而就临在与释放的教导而言,有些奉献者可能觉得很有帮助,而有些奉献者觉得对他们没有多大益处。
So we shouldn't, you know, in a devotee association, in a devotee program that's there to hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and chant Hare Krishna, we shouldn't force others who are not interested in the teaching of presence and releasing to participate in that.
因此的话，在奉献者的联谊中，在奉献者专门用来阅读《伯加梵歌》和《伯加瓦坛》唱诵、念诵曼陀罗的这个节目当中，这个联谊活动当中，就不应该把这个临在与释放的教导去强迫那些对此并不感兴趣的奉献者，强迫别人来接受，强迫别人来聆听。So
I mentioned in my letter that it might be a good idea to have separate forums for devotee association and then a separate forum for those who are interested in sharing about presence and releasing.
因此我在我的那封信里面也提到过，就是说，就可以，比如说安排成这样一种分开的一种活动方式。 比如说针对对临在与释放感兴趣的奉献者的话，就可以有他们自己的这样一个，就是有他们自己这样一个讨论的公共空间，然后讨论的一个公共场所，然后来他们可以来讨论临在与释放的教导。而对于想进行奉献者的标准节目活动的奉献者的话，他们有自己的这样一个公共空间来讨论。Yeah.
But I don't want to create separate groups and separate programs either.
但是的话，我也并不想要去制造出这种相分离的、相分隔的这种小组或者是联谊活动。So
one devotee told me, I won't mention any names, that they have their regular association program in the morning.
所以说有一位奉献者就对我说过，当然我在这里就不提他的名字了。那么他说过，他们在早上的时候是有这个就是。
Right, they have artic and worship the deity.
他们会进行 artic, 会崇拜神像。
And, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, discuss Srimad Bhagavatam.
聆听并且讨论圣典伯加瓦坛。
And they dance and chant together.
然后一起唱和跳。
And then take prasadam.
然后荣耀 prasadam。
And then, in the afternoon, for those who are interested, they discuss presence and releasing in the context of anartha nirvriti.
然后在下午的时候，他们的那个小组就会基于这个 anartha nirvriti 净化内心的不洁的这样一个背景来讨论临在与释放。
So I think that's a very nice program. That would be ideal.
因此我认为这个节目这种安排真的非常非常好，真的可以说是很理想状态的安排方式了。But
devotees should not think that they have to, you know, study presence and releasing, and it should be volunteer, and ideally in the association of devotees.
而奉献者不应该认为就是每一个人都必须得学习临在与释放，然后而是这种完全是属于自发的、自愿的这样一种意愿，是否一个奉献者要考虑对方是否愿意对这个感兴趣、愿意开始来学习，并且在理想情况下的话，是能够有奉献者的联谊的这种情况来一起学习和讨论临在与释放。But
again, I want to stress that the practice of presence and releasing is not an alternative or a supplement to direct devotional service, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Krishna's instruction in Bhagavad Gita, and worshiping Krishna and taking Krishna prasadam.
所以说我在这里要再次强调一点，那就是临在与释放的教导和这个练习，并不是这个要去取代直接的奉爱服务，直接的 Krishna 知觉的修习过程。而这个直接的 Krishna 知觉的修习过程，那就是念诵主的圣名，聆听 Krishna 在《薄伽梵歌》和《薄伽瓦坛》当中的教导，并且的话崇拜 Krishna 的神像和荣耀 Prasadam。
Yeah, the teaching of presence is thus is only there as a support for the chanting of Hare Krishna to come to the stage of offenseless chanting。
而临在与释放的存在就只是作为一种支持，来支持奉献者到达无冒犯的念诵圣名的阶段。
And the releasing part is there to help devotees recognize their material attachments and conditionings and to let them go.
而释放的这一环节就是为了帮助奉献者能够辨识出他们的物质的执念和物质的依附，从而能够学会去放下对于这种物质的依附和这种生命的具体化概念。
Yeah, so it's, presence and releasing is there to support, not replace, the process of hearing and chanting.
因此临在与释放的存在是去支持而不是去取代念诵与聆听的修习过程。
Yeah, so all of my students, you know, I want them to enthusiastically participate in the Prabhupada, in the program that Prabhupada has given us, and to associate and serve devotees.
而我所有的学生，我都要求，我都请求我所有的学生能够热情满满的去参与到帕帕给我们的这种教导当中，能够参与到帕帕所制定的这些节目安排当中，能够热情满满的去服务其他的奉献者。
Yeah, and it's kind of particularly because we have so many gurus, and we have to be vigilant to minimize the tendency to form groups and separate ourselves from each other.
而在伊斯康当中的话呢，由于有许多的 guru， 因此的话，我们就必须要随时保持警惕自己这种想要组小团队，想要去和其他的 guru 门徒的这个团体相分离的这种倾向，对，警惕这样的倾向。
Yeah, so we should be very liberal.
Very good. I don't understand liberal.
Liberal means kind of broad-minded. We should allow each other to be different and accept each other the way we are, but we come together for hearing and chanting.
OK. 因此我们应该是非常开明的，对，头脑开明的，那就是我们应该能够去接纳别人和我们不同的方面，而同时的话我们大家都聆听和念诵。
So may not, but we shouldn't, you know, accept them just because they're into presence and releasing, and reject someone because they're not, or someone may have affinity for this guru or that guru, but, you know, when we come together to hear and chant and read Bhagavad Gita, you know, all those, we should be united for that.
United, I see. 所以说有些人可能会对临在与释放的教导很感兴趣，而有些人则不会对此感兴趣。因此我们不应该只是去接受那些比如说对临在和释放很感兴趣的奉献者，然后拒绝那些对临在和释放不感兴趣的奉献者。那么同样的，就是我们可能对于这一位 guru 有好感，然后有这种就是觉得他的教导能帮助我们，而其他人可能对另外一个 guru 觉得是更加愿意去跟随他。但是当我们聚在一起抱着同样的目的来 念诵、唱诵和聆听、阅读经典的时候，那么我们都应该放下所有的这些不同的地方，然后能够真正的统一，对，统一成一个团体。
So this is the principle of oneness and diversity.
而这就是 oneness and diversity, is that the one and different, the simultaneous one?
Well, yeah, united and diverse at the same time.
Oh, I see. 而这就是同一性和多样性的原则。
Yeah, we're united as followers of Prabhupada.
我们都是作为帕帕的追随者，作为整个这样一个整体来追随帕帕。
We're all worshippers of Krishna.
我们都是Krishna 的崇拜者。他的圣灵。
That unites us.
而这就会把我们统一起来。
We hear Krishna's teaching in the form of Bhagavad Gita.
我们聆听 Krishna 在博迦梵歌当中的教导。
And we associate with those who are united with that purpose.
而我们和那些有同样目的的人一起联谊，一起交流。
But yet we're all individuals.
但是然而我们又每个人都却是一个个体。
And even in Krishna consciousness, some are very inclined to study and some are not.
而即便在 Krishna 知觉当中也是大家有不同的，有些人可能倾向于去学习，而有些人可能就没有这方面的倾向。
Some are very inclined towards pujari work.
有些人可能倾向于想作为一个 pujari, 作为一个祭师来服务。
But others are more into kirtan.
而其他一些奉献者可能更喜欢 kirtan.
Yeah, so we're all individuals. We all have our, our different tendencies.
因此我们每个人都是一个个体，我们每个人都有自己不同的倾向。
So we want to create a sangha where everyone is free to be themselves and don't feel pressured, to engage in Krishna consciousness.
因此我们想要创造出这样的一种sangha，这样的一种联谊氛围，联谊团体，那就是大家能够在这样的团体当中自如的做自己，自如的展现出自己真实的样子，而不是遭受到这种压力，一定这种就是遭受到很多压力，要让自己去进行奉爱服务。
Right, we respect each other because we chant Hare Krishna and because we believe in Krishna and we follow his teachings.
我们尊重其他人是因为我们所有人是因为我们在一起都相信 Krishna 的教导，念诵他的圣名。
And so in this way, we're very liberal. We're very accepting of each other and don't become nitpicky about details.
Okay. 因此这样的方式我们就是非常头脑非常这种心胸开阔，对，开阔的，然后并且是非常开明的，对，应该叫非常开明。那么以这样的方式我们是非常开明的来接受和我们不同的人，那么而不是就是去忌惮，而不是去这种就是去挑剔别人身上那些很细节的细微的东西。
Yeah, so a sangha should be a safe place where we feel free to be ourselves.And where we feel nourished and encouraged, that everyone is happy that we've chosen to come and hear and chant. After all, we could just go to a movie or something.
因此 ，Sangha 这个奉献者的联谊活动应该是一个非常安全的地方，是我们觉得可以做自己的、自由的做自己、表现出来自己的一个地方。那么这样的方式，那么在这样的团体当中，我们感到自己受到了滋养，受到了鼓舞，然后并且很高兴做出了这样的选择，来在周末的时候或者某个时间来参加联谊的活动。而如果不是这样的话，那干嘛不去看电影呢？
And then, if we feel safe, we can be very honest, and then we can have, a discussion later about our anarthas and how to overcome them.
If we feel safe and
and accepted.
Oh, okay.
So then that creates an environment where we can be honest and work on our anarthas together.
嗯 ，OK。而如果我们感到安全，感到自己被周围的奉献者所接纳，那么这个就会给我们创造出来这样一种环境，就使得我们可以在稍后的时候能够得以跟别人坦诚以待，能够和周围的奉献者一起来共同致力于净化我们的内在，来做到这个 anatta liberty。
Yeah, so we have to make the devotee association a place where devotees want to come and not where they feel accepted and where they feel welcomed.
因此我们应该为奉献者创造出来这样的一种环境，这样一种联谊氛围，那就是使得他们想要来参加，使得他们感到自己在那里是很安全，是被接纳的。
Yeah, where there are smiles and there's no frowns.
在这样的环境当中，大家都是笑脸盈盈，笑脸满脸，而不是这种皱着眉头的样子。
Anyway, I'm just blabbering on and on.
不好意思，我就是又开始唠叨了。
But I really appreciate Sumukhi Ranamataji's question. It's very important that we don't make these sectarian groups.
但是我真的非常感谢苏穆基马拉吉在这里问的问题，能够我非常重要的明白，我们不是在奉献者团体当中要去创造出这样一种相分离的这种其他的一个团体。
We remain united in spite of our diversity.
Remain united and inspired in our diversity. 因此我们在我们的多样性这种各种各样不同的。这种状态之中，我们继续保持统一，保持这样一种灵感满满的、备受鼓舞的状态。Okay. There's three more questions.
Oh my God, really?
I don't
know if we'll make it. I only have 10 more minutes.
Okay, then let's try it. 好，我们来看下一个问题。帕帕西里马拉吉问的问题，明白，亲爱的 Guru Day， 感恩翻译美好的服务。请问如何理解注意力和知觉之间的关系 ？So Tapasini Mataji is asking that how to understand the relationship between attention and consciousness.
Well, attention is it's like a flashlight.
注意力就像是这个手电筒的光一样。
It's holding the light.
You mean attention is holding the light. 这个光给相当于就是掌控的这个光，对，注意力在掌控的这个光。
The flashlight is holding the light, right?
对吧？就像这个手电筒是这个光，是它可以把光照在任何的地方。
And wherever you point the flashlight, the light shines and you can see what's there.
而你把手电筒照在任何一个地方，你就能看，把那个光线照在那个地方，从而看到那个地方的样子。
Yeah, so the mind is a pointing consciousness.
因此心意就像是一种有指向性的这个方向性的知觉。
Yeah, so consciousness is what knows.
而知觉是知晓的那个生命。
And attention is just the mechanism that points to consciousness.
而注意力就只不过是一种机制，是在把这个知觉，就是这个知晓的这个力量，这个生命力，相当于它是对注意力，就相当于是一个机制一样的，把这个知觉照亮到导向在某个东西上。
And when you choose to bring your attention present, that choice is being made by your intelligence.
因此当你做出决定要把注意力放在当下此刻的时候，这个做出决定的是你的智力所做出的决定。
And the intelligence knows that the world of the mind of thought is not real, only life in the present is real. Therefore, you choose to be present.
而智力他知道，就是心意的世界是一个虚幻的世界，这个思考的世界是一个虚幻的世界，而当下此刻的世界才是生命的真相。因此， 智利就做出了这样的一种选择，选择把注意力放到当下。
Yeah, when consciousness is absorbed in thought, you become unconscious of yourself.
当知觉，当知觉沉迷于思考当中，沉迷于这种念头之中的时候，知觉就变得无法觉知到他自己了，就失去了对他自己的知觉。
And when consciousness is brought to the present, then consciousness can become conscious of itself or realize itself.
而当知觉被带到当下此刻的时候，当知觉就能变得觉知到他自己，也就是变得能够意识到他自己的存在。
So once we know that, we use our intelligence to choose to be present.
因此一旦当我们知晓了这一点，我们就能运用智力来做出这样的选择。
Yeah, so the attention is just pointing the consciousness.
因此注意力就是在把知觉照射在，导向在某个位置。
Now, if we're lost in the mind, then the mind is in control.
如果我们迷失在心意之中，那么心意就是处于掌控位置的。
And we're just following some conditioned pattern. We think we're making the choice, but really...It's just the pattern that's making the choice. It's the modes of nature.
而当我们迷失在心意之中，我们只不过是在遵循这些模式而已。我们以为是自己做出了某个决定，但实际上只不过是这些模式做出了决定，也就是物质自然三种属性做出的决定而已。
So the proper use of free will be present so that you can awaken.And realize your own presence.
因此自由意志的恰当运用，那就是用智力来做出选择，让自己临在当下，能够真正在当下此刻觉醒，从而觉悟到这一刻自己的。
You're choosing to be present for Krishna because that's an act of love.
而如果你是一位奉献者的话，那你做出这样的选择。是为 Krishna 而临。
Krishna is there in the form of his name.
Krishna 就以他的圣名的形式存在于那里。
Right, so when our friends visit, we give them our full attention, our consciousness. That's an act of love.
比如说，就相当于我们的朋友来拜访我们，当他们来敲我们的门的时候，我们打开门，然后招呼他。给把我们所有的注意力和把我们的知觉都给到对方，而这就是一种爱的行为。
If our friend is before us, and we choose to withdraw our consciousness from our friend and place it into our cell phone, that's opposite of love. Actually, it's an act of neglect.
而当如果我们面对朋友的时候，结果却把注意力拉开，然后把注意力，比如说放在我们的手机上，而没有去注意到对方的存在，那么这就是爱的行为的反面，那它就是一种忽视的行为，忽略的行为。
And so it's love means choice.
爱就意味着选择。
So only we can choose where we place our attention. No one else can.
而只有我们自己才能做出决定，来要把注意力。放到哪里要把爱给予谁，那而没有其他任何一个人可以来替我们做出这样的选择。
Okay.
You want the next question?
Yes.
Okay, 我们来看下一个问题。快乐女神 Darcy Madaji 问的问题，顶拜咕噜，如何更好的安排联谊方式？有新人参加联谊时不敢摄入过多，我们会很谨慎，怕新人会有反感，甚至不敢做一些仪式，如 RT 绕拜等等，这是否恰当呢？请把这个和前一个我的问题一起给咕噜吧。我不知道这个。So this Madaji is asking that how to arrange the sangha in the sangha not cause any aversion for the new even when we don't even dare to do some ambulation, because so is this actually proper?
Yeah, of course. Of course, I think the Sangha should be tailored to, you know, types of devotees. You know, the Sangha should, especially towards newcomers, of some other, you know, deeper discussions or things you want to do, you can have that at a separate time in a separate group.
Okay. 恰当的，因为根据不同类型的奉献者来量身定制的，就特别是针对新人的话，那更加是就说是要针对新人而量身定制。就是说，如果有人想进行这种更深、更进一步的讨论的话，那么可以让这些奉献者在一个其他的时间和其他的一个地点，或者是网上来这样来更深的讨论。
Right, every educational institution has different classes and different grades.
对吧？ 每一个教育机构、学校， 那么针对不同的学生的话， 都会有不同的班级和年级的区别。
Right, or even if you have yoga classes, right? You have yoga classes for beginners, for intermediate, and then for advanced.
对。 瑜伽、中级瑜伽和高级瑜伽的区别。
Yeah, so our Krishna conscious program should be tailored towards tailored in the same way, you know, to for new people and for old people as well, old students.
因此的话，我们的奉献者联谊也应该是针对新人，是要量身定制的。同时的话，针对老奉献者也是应该是量身定制，根据每个人的这个所处的阶段来。 来量身的，这样就说来针对他们来设计，来安排。
So some things you can do all together, and then at other times it might be more appropriate to have special classes.
因此，比如说在某一个时间段，大家可以一起来做适合每个人的活动，而在其他的一个时间段的话，我们可以针对这一小组人的话呢，针对他们做专门的特别的活动。
Okay, thank you for that question.
好的，谢谢你的这个问题。 Okay, next one.
That's the last one, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, 我们来看最后一个问题。这位叫 Hari Krishna Mataji 问的问题，顶拜孤鲁，感恩奉献者。我想问，请问一下，经典上说卡利年代已经过了5000年了，世界会越来越堕落，直至毁灭。然而根据考古发现，5000年前的旧石器时代，人们捕杀动物吃肉，也没有 Krishna 知觉，怎么他们就比我们现在好了呢？ 他们是处于青铜时代吗？ Okay, so this Mataji is asking that the scripture says that the Kali Yuga has already been past 5,000 years and the world is becoming increasingly decadent and eventually destruction. However, according to the archaeology evidence that 5,000 years ago, like the prehistory time, that humans gatherers and hunters, they capture the animals and eat meat, and without Krishna consciousness, but how could they actually be better than us? They are in the previous yuga, right? Sorry, Guma, I forgot what's the Sanskrit for the previous yuga. Kali Yuga.
The previous Kali Yuga.
No, the one the one yoga prior to Kali Yoga. Well, what's the word for that?
Oh, previous yoga. I'm sorry. The Dwarpa Yuga.
Dwarpa. Oh, okay. Yeah, so she's asking that these hunter-gatherers, they were actually in the Dwarga Yuga?
No, they were in the previous Kali Yuga.
Oh, okay, so they are also in Kali Yuga.
Yeah.
就是捕杀动物吃肉的这些旧石器时代的人们的话，他们实际上也是处于这个卡利年代的，只不过是处于卡利年代的最早期年代。
You know, and it's also it's very it's difficult to understand or measure or based on gross physical archaeology.
因此要基于这个粗糙的物质的考古学证据，想要来理解或者是测量或者是计算这个每一个时代的这个起始时间和终止时期的话，就是卡利年代和青铜年代的这个起始和终止时期的话，其实际上是很难的，就是要去基于这个粗糙的考古学时代来考察的话是很难的。
Yeah, because the physical universe itself has subtle, you know, to gross elements that are interchangeable.
Oh, the gross element and the subtle elements are interchangeable.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes physicality...Very, very subtle.
What is physicality?
Well, gross physical energy can be more, you could say, more compact and more physical, and sometimes not so physical.
Okay, wow.
In other words, Kali Yuga at the end is very gross, and so that's what remains. And you can see it.But when the other yugas are more subtle, the physical energy is more subtle, there's no remnants of it.
Wow. Ooh, okay. I'll try my best. 所以说故事就说到哈，对于这个物质宇宙来说，它是有这个粗糙的物质元素和精微的物质元素的区别的，然后并且粗糙物质元素和精微物质元素这二者之间是可以互相交换、互相改变的。因此的话呢，就说像这些物质能量的话，这样一种状态，而有些时候是展现出来非常精微的状态。换句话说，那就是卡利年代，比如说卡利年代是很粗糙的这样一个物质年代，因此的话呢，就会留下很多的，你可以直接触碰。残留物就是比如说这些考古学的证据就会在那儿，但是的话对于先前的年代的话，比如说像青铜年代，由于它更加精微，因此它就没有办法能够像卡利年代这样的去残留下这些很实体的具体的粗糙的这些物质证据。
And even physicists, you know, who study quantum mechanics, they calculate thatEven in the physical world, there are 14 different dimensions.
14 different
dimensions. That are going on, you know, together, but you're not aware of the different dimensions. We're just aware of our little dimension.
那么即使是量子，专门研究量子力学的物质学家，物理学家，就是现今的话呢，他们已经得出了这样一种研究结论，那就是在这个宇宙当中有同时14个维度在同时进行着，但是的话我们却只能觉知到意识到我们所存在的这个小小的维度，是不可能能够觉知到其他的13个维度的。OK， 问题回答。
So thank you so much, Samuki and Narayani, for today and for all the devotees. And thank you for all your questions. It's so nice to be back to our regular. Being with you next week, all glories to Sri Madhvagavatam and all glories to Sri the Prabhupada.
我很期待下星期再次和大家相聚，所有的荣耀都归于帕帕，所有的荣耀都归于圣典佛教瓦坛。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, good morning. OK, 外昆塔之音服务源于聆听，今天的讲课到此结束。Hare Krishna, 愿大家有美好和知觉的一天。